Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome into the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on 104.1 FM, KMOX, your home for the Cardinals. You're home for a bunch of other things as well, and we're going to be talking more about that as Cardinals season is coming to a close, about a week and a half left in the year. We'll still have lots of games for you here on KMOX, whether it's football games from Westwood One, whether it's the Billikens. We got a few other things that we got coming your way as well. But, of course, we'll have more Sports Open Lines once baseball season comes to an end. As well. So for those of you who have maybe just sort of found us now that we've been on the FM dial here for the last few months and you're just used to listening to baseball at night, hopefully you'll continue to make us part of your evening plans. And speaking of evening plans, hopefully tomorrow night you literally make us part of your evening plans by finding your way to Hot Shots in Arnold, as that's where we are going to be for another one of our soccer showcase events. Team of Baumgartel from City SC, he's going to be there. Jen Cease and I will be on from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock doing nothing but soccer. And during that hour, Timo's going to be with us probably for about the first half hour of it or so. And then once we wrap up with Timo, he will head over to another table where he'll sign autographs and take photos and do all that sort of stuff. So if you want to meet him, that's awesome. For parents out there, just especially soccer practice, there's going to be a lot of soccer practices going on. You don't want to do dinner tomorrow night. You want your kids to be entertained by something else. Well, head on over to Hot Shots. Bring the family, bring the kids, especially if you're in the South County area. We're going to be in Arnold tomorrow. Get yourself some food, some drink from Hot Shots. Meet Timo, get an autograph, get a picture, and your night's taken care of. That is my gift to you. You do not have to make dinner tomorrow night. You can go to Hot Shots in Arnold and come say hello to me. I'll start the broadcast at 5 o'clock for Redbird Rush Hour, and then we'll start the soccer portion at 6 o'clock, and we'll continue to remind you about that going on tomorrow throughout the evening. We got a lot on the show today. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Later on this hour, we are going to talk with a former MLS player, current analyst on MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, Kalen Carr. We'll talk some City SC with him. At the start of the 7 o'clock hour, Howard Richards is going to join us, Mizzou football radio analyst. Tigers looking good right now. Later on in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll have our weekly conversation courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan, Kansas City, with Patrick Mahomes. And also we'll hear from Doug Armstrong as the Blues are opening up training camp coming up tomorrow. Some interesting things said by the Blues president of hockey operations today. So Armstrong will play some of what he had to say to the media. That's going to be coming up later on this hour. As always, if you want to chime in on what we are talking about. Multiple ways to get connected with the program. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching the video stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will address that as we go along through the show today. Cardinals lose today. It's kind of a blah game. They lose 6-2. Alec Burleson hits the home run in the first inning, which was good. Gave them a 1-0 lead. They took their early lead yesterday. They were able to keep it yesterday, but they didn't get the same pitching yesterday that they did yesterday, because Andre Pallante again allows one inning to really beat them, and mistakes. I've been frustrated. When it comes to the Cardinals and not playing great baseball, sometimes there are things that frustrate me, and sometimes there are things that I'm more accepting of. And I'm a little bit more frustrated right now because I think the mistakes are starting to pile up. And mistakes are not always fielding errors. Mistakes are issuing walks. Mistakes are plays in the field that should have been made, that are not made. Maybe they don't go for errors. Mistakes that are made sometimes don't have any impact whatsoever when you've got somebody who's not backing up on a play, or an outfielder who's just kind of a passenger. Some other stuff is going on. When you have bad base running, things like that. I think the Cardinals, for the most part this season, and I give them credit, I think they've played a pretty clean season. I think they've been very good defensively. I think they've been a pretty solid fundamental ball club, especially across baseball. Fundamentals have fallen back. That's kind of the state of the game. So I guess I'm grading on a little bit of a curve here, and I know there's some people who hold them to a much higher standard, and that's totally fine. I think it's been a fine season in terms of that. But over the last couple weeks, there's been some instances where some very preventable things have come back to bite the team. And you know, there's been a time or two where Ollie has said in postgame essentially that the team didn't deserve to win a game. There was there was that game against one of the Milwaukee games, I think it was, where the first six batters of the inning, every single at bat, there was either a walk or a mistake that was made, whether it was an error or something else. And like that's the stuff that just, you get frustrated when that happens. That's not what it's supposed to be. So I get it. There bunch of, you know, Wilson Contreras goes on the injured list today. He's done for the year. You made the moves at the trade deadline. There's some other pieces that you don't have. Like you're playing out the string. But at the same time, the one thing I would really like to see is for it to continue to be clean baseball. I thought it was interesting today during the post-game conversation from Oliver Marmol, where he talked about hitters' approach, and he was speaking specifically against Brady Singer. And Ollie had a hard time answering the question because it was a kind of a generalized question about the team, but when you're talking about a bunch of different individual batters, you can't generalize, because if you're talking about the approach, well, if you're really happy with the approach one guy's taken and you're pretty happy with how another, a couple other guys, and you think it could be a little bit better with a couple guys, and there's three or four guys that are really leaving something to be desired, you can't have an all-encompassing answer. So I appreciate, one of the things I appreciate about Ollie is he listens to questions and he answers them, and when he can't answer them, there's a reason why, and the reason why today was the generalization of everything being the same across the board. That being said, it was pretty clear listening to him today that from an approach standpoint, there are some guys that are not doing what they would like them to do. And that should not be shocking news to you, by the way, because when Brant Brown was on Gas House Gang, and Brant Brown also had a conversation with Klaibs recently during the pregame show, like it's pretty clear that there is some frustration with how some of the hitters are approaching their at-bats. And I would contend that if you are somebody who's starting to fall off at the end of a season, even when you're not playing for much, that's something that's going to be noticed. I don't know what the consequences are. I don't know if that, you know, when all of it, we know there's going to be a lot of players that have to be moved off this roster this offseason to make the roster work for next season. That all plays a role kind of in what's going on. I want to talk with Bernie Miklas about that, about what he has seen as the level of play, I think, has dropped off a little bit here over the last couple weeks. Some of that, again, is just natural human reaction to the team not being really competitive. But at the same time, you want to see those good efforts. Bernie Miklas will join me coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've got a full two-hour program tonight taking you until 8 o'clock. Very happy to welcome on our good friend Bernie Miklas. You hear him on Redbird Rush Hour, on Gas House Gang. He's all over STL Sports Central with both video and written content. He's part of the Cards Territory podcast as well with Katie Wu, and he joins us right now for our Wednesday conversation. Hey, Bernie.
Matt, good to be with you as always, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking some time. You had an interesting video today, and your point was that Heim Bloom is in actually a better position beginning the job because of some of the things that John Mozeliak has done. And you look at where this roster is, where it is, more talent came in when they traded away some expiring contracts. They didn't give any contracts to like arbitration eligible guys like Brendan Donovan. They've kept the 40-man roster as clean as possible, not bringing up J.J. Weatherholt, not bringing up Mason Winn. It does seem like Bloom's going to have the opportunity to make as much impact as possible. We don't know what that's going to be very early on in the tenure.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, really interesting when I was, you know, reviewing all the prospect ratings and seeing, for example, how Fangraphs had the Cardinals rated their farm system 15th before the season. And then all the way up to number six, the updated rankings after the trade deadline, 15 to six. And ESPN, Kylie McDaniel, you know, they had the Cardinals at 19th preseason, their farm system, all the way up to 9th in their update in August. And a lot of praise for the developing talent, not just the premium guys we all know about, but Keith Law told me, for example, that the Cardinals have a lot of under-the-radar prospects that are really good. And people are sort of underestimating what they have exactly. And I thought, you know, when you look at it this way, and then you look at the fact that, yeah, I'm not saying that the talent on the major league roster is good enough, because it's not, but there are younger players on that roster who like Burleson, for example, has had a really good season. He's not the only one. Ivan Herrera, for example, one of the better younger hitters in Major League Baseball, and others. Mason Winn, they have good young players that they probably want to keep. And that would include a couple of starting pitchers, Libitor and McGreevy. But on top of that, they have other younger players that they can trade to collect future assets for their rebuild. So my point is, listen, we've all pointed to many things that John Mozeliak has done wrong, and it's a reason why this thing flattened out and went south. But it would be dishonest not to acknowledge that, you know, and the way I see it, you know, the Cardinals are actually better positioned going into this rebuild and going into this transition to Heim Bloom. They're better positioned with young talent than I have seen them in quite a while. And listen, John Mozeliak, if he was in charge of all the mistakes and this and that, he's also in charge of raising the level of young talent within the organization. And when you're going into a rebuild, that's a really vital factor. So, Matt, I think you and I are alike, and I think Kevin Wheeler is with us on that, and Tom Ackerman and Chris Raji. I see no reason to be petty about John Mozeliak. In other words, I'm not saying this stuff because this is his final homestand and all that stuff. Not at all. We've all pointed out the mistakes a million times. What is the point of rehashing all that again? But what's different is that no one seems to realize that they've expanded their young talent pool in a way that is going to help Heim Bloom do his job. And I think it's the classy thing and the honest thing to do is to make that point. And I know that I always like to joke. If you praise John Mozeliak in St. Louis, I believe it's now officially a felony crime. I get that. But, you know, I just don't believe in being absolutely petty about stuff. Yeah, we know about the screw up. So mm-hmm. We don't need to keep talking. See, my focus now is all about the future. I don't really care now what happened in the past because that part's over and the guy who was responsible for it is leaving.
That kind of leads into this because in the grand scheme of things, what I'm about to ask you about really doesn't matter because nothing that happens from now to the end of the season in the last couple weeks matters. But we have watched a team that's been pretty good defensively this year. A lot of that's been based off two individual players, but they've been a fine defensive team. They've been a fine fundamental team. They haven't been a terrible base running team. A lot of these things, Bernie, in the final few weeks of the year, I mean, there's been some bad innings. So whether it's walks or whether it's errors or mistakes that don't show up as errors or base running mistakes or fielders not backing up on plays, like we have seen this team not do the small things for a month or so. And maybe that's just a byproduct of not being a competitive team, but I have been a little bit disappointed by that.
Yeah, I think they've gotten a little sloppy and I don't know whether it's human nature. I don't know. And I don't like to make too much excuses about injuries, but they've gotten walloped by injuries in the second half. Although I got to point out for the entire season, according to Baseball Prospectus that has a great injury tracker, the Cardinals have been the least impacted team in the majors by injuries, and that includes the recent stuff. So, but they have gotten sloppy, and I know they're moving people around and they're plugging in, and you're seeing guys play a lot that haven't been playing a lot. You know, when Gorman took over at third base, he was really bad at first. He got better, and then has kind of relapsed again defensively. So, but I agree with your premise 100%, and I just think there's a lot of factors, and you know, and again, After they went to 9 games over .500 by sweeping Cleveland, 9 games over .500, their season best. I mean, they are 27-41 since then. It's only the Rockies have been worse in the National League. You know, and the bottom line is when you don't have much of a starting rotation and your offense has been really bad overall, you're just not a very good team. But having the team also get sloppy just adds to the frustration.
So Michael McGreevy yesterday was really good. Gave up just 3 hits in 7 innings, 6 strikeouts. The last time he pitched up against Cincinnati, he was also good, just not as good. 1 run, 5 hits, 6 innings, no strikeouts. Oliver Marmol talked last night about how McGreevy is so receptive to advice and how to tweak things. And yeah, he could have said, man, I was really good against Cincinnati the last time. Let's just do the same thing. But instead, they tweaked it. And he talked about, you know, meeting Rob Serfolio after Major League Spring Training and how they gave him some advice on stuff. And they were almost surprised how willing he was to listen to what these people were saying and implement it to see maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But if it does work, this could take you to another level. I feel like, no, this is a really long question, Bernie. I'm sorry.
No, not at all, man.
As we watch, and I know pitching and hitting is different, but as we have watched a hitting coach openly speak about the fact that maybe the team has hitters that do not listen as much and don't make those tweaks, Isn't there something that everybody can learn from Michael McGreevy?
You know, isn't that the truth? You speak the truth as always. No, absolutely. And I think that sometimes, I know I've heard from fans, and they're not being jerks or anything, you know, but there's some skepticism about McGreevy because he will have those bad starts, and you know, there's some clunkers mixed in there, and we know that he's not overpowering per se. And I think they wonder, you know, are the media overrating him a little bit? I don't think we are, because we're all well aware of what his limitations are. But, you know, if you look at his record, and I'm not going to say it's happened every time, but just a lot, most of the time when he has a bad start, his next start is like excellent. Mm-hmm. Because he realizes how he screwed up. He realizes what went wrong. He realizes what mistakes he made. He realizes what he needs to correct and clean up before his next time out. And he gets that done the dominant amount of times. And there's a fierceness of competitiveness about him. And there is an incredible desire within him to learn and adapt and to get better. And he's just relentless. He will not stop. And you look, I saw a guy pitch like that for the Cardinals who helped pitch them to the World Series in 2006. And I'm talking about Jeff Suppan. You know, there's still room in this game for guys who know how to pitch and know how to correct their mistakes, realizing they can't overpower hitters. Suppan was like that. Suppan was just a guy when the Cardinals got him. They put him together with Dave Duncan. And without Jeff Suppan, they don't win the World Series in 2006. And all you got to do is look, flashback to Game 7 of the 2006 World Series at Shea Stadium. And the Mets had him in trouble time and time again, and he pitched his way out of it, and the Cardinals wanted an extra innings. The season was basically over if he cracked at all, and he didn't. So McGreevy's got some of those same qualities, and that's a pretty high compliment. Because even back then, there was no one around baseball said, oh, man, Jeff Suppan's got killer stuff. No, they said he knows how to make pitches and he's really smart.
Yeah, I've been so encouraged by McGreevy and the maturation and just the evolution and everything that he does. It's been right. Fun to watch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A while since we've been able to talk about City SC coming off a victory that happened this past weekend as they traveled to Montreal and came away with a 2-0 win. They're going to get back at it on Saturday on the road as they match up against San Jose. To preview that and talk all things City SC, we're very happy to welcome onto the program former MLS player, now a analyst with MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. He is Kalen Carr. You follow him on Twitter at Kalen, C-A-L-E-N, Carr, C-A-R-R. He joins us right now. Kalen, thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Awesome to be with you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us today. What did you see? City has really been struggling recently. A lot of close losses. There was a tie in there that should have been a win. They finally were able to not just get a win, but a clean sheet all at the same time. Something this team, this organization had really been looking for.
Yeah, no, you could almost feel a collective sigh of relief and some confidence in the team too, because if you look at the quality of play and especially the goals. There was some really nice interchanging of positions and understanding. And so it didn't look like a team that is, you know, 14th place in the Western Conference right now. And I know Montreal are not in the best spot either. I cover them pretty frequently. I live here in New York and make the quick flight up to Montreal, but not an easy place to play. Not a simple place to get results, even you know, when you consider the travel and the conditions and all that. And, you know, I just thought that the way that they came out in this one looked really, really strong. And, you know, the little clever behind the leg pass from João Klaus as well was kind of icing on the cake.
They're not really playing for anything for this season, but it is a very short off season in soccer, probably more so than any other sport. It feels like one season really rolls into the next. If they're able to take some momentum out of that Montreal matchup and have some success in the final four matches of the regular season, how can that impact the offseason going into next year?
Well, it's a good question because it's hearkening back and making me think of the end of last year where they finished the season so well. And same thing. Yeah, you were like, okay, well, hey, they've got this confidence. They have the new signings. They brought in Hartle. They brought in you know, a number of different pieces that came into the side that where you're like, okay, this is, you know, a real team going forward. And they looked like they were on pace to, they had a little bit more time to make the playoffs, and it kind of fell apart. And I think obviously the hiring of the manager that came in just didn't really work out, didn't fit a system, kind of went more defensive when they had the pieces to play a little bit more expansive. And there's just been too many changes, I think. And that's where, you see a little bit of a loss of identity. So I'm really interested to see, you know, for me, is Critchley going to be the guy to get the job? Is who's going to be able to stay there? And I just think towards, you know, the end of the season, even if you're not playing for the playoffs necessarily, or that seems like a tall task at this point, you're playing for your job. I've been there where you know you're not going to make the playoffs. And look, I wanted my option to get picked up. I wanted to be a part of the club to prove that I could be a part of things, or to at least put myself in the shop window so you know, I could get to another place. But more than anything, I think that this is the type of year where you have to play for some pride. You play for the badge. And look, I think St. Louis City has a ton of potential. We've already seen it come to fruition. It's just, I think the thought was that it was going to be a more linear progression to go straight up. And then it's kind of been much more, you know, down. And then, you know, even when it's gone up, it's been halted. So looking for a little bit more solid footing.
It's interesting you say that. When you're a player playing for a team that's not going to the playoffs and you do want something good for you personally, like an option being picked up or just an opportunity the next season, how do you go about still being able to play as part of a team game when it's more about what you want personally, if that makes any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, well, I think pro sports in general is always that kind of tricky balance of, you know, you're looking out for yourself and you want the next contract. You want to play as a striker over the next guy, but you also want him to score goals. You want the team to win. And I always felt, you know, for me personally, making the players around me look good, especially some of the star players, was a way that I found success and maintained my place into some successful teams in Houston and Chicago. So, but yeah, I think it is a tricky balance, and where you can go off track is when you focus too much on yourself. And I think teams see that. Clubs see that. Guys who are a little bit more individualistic, not sacrificing for the team. And when I think of the best versions of St. Louis City, it was all about the belief in the philosophy and fighting for, you know, the next man. And look, they have quality throughout the team. You go through the lines and you can see a ton of experience and a ton of talent. But it's really been more of that continuity and that culture that seemed like it was being built and then and kind of fell apart at the seams.
I know the last thing a team wants to do is make a decision with long-term implications because of short-term impact. Talking about taking momentum from the end of this year and turning into next season, but it's a team that needs a new sporting director, so you don't know what the soccer philosophy is going to be with a new sporting director, and it's a team that needs to make a decision on a head coach, whether they keep Critchley, whether they look at somebody else. If they do have a strong finish to the season, can that momentum be kind of wiped out if all of a sudden they bring in people that want to do things very differently than what they're doing right now?
It can. Yeah, I think we saw that last season. Yeah. I think last year was a perfect example with Olof Mellberg coming into the team and having the momentum and, you know, them playing really good football and entertaining style of play and having that momentum. I think a couple Leagues Cup games in St. Louis. I saw, you know, just being around the city, how excited everybody was. And you know, the soccer history, the soccer culture there is you know, second to none. So I know it's going to be an attractive job to be a part of that front office. That's a big decision to make. You mentioned with Lutz Fahnenstiel being let go, and he was there from the beginning. So I could see a lot of people being very interested in that position, as well as the managerial one. But I think sometimes I think there's a little bit of a danger of looking too far and saying, well, maybe what's behind, you know, the grass is greener over there. Because when I've looked at a lot of the managers that have been in St. Louis, I think there's been some really good ones. I thought Bradley Carnell did a great job. You can see the success he's having in Philadelphia. I'm blanking on Hackworth. I've known forever, yeah, and is such a respected manager. He was in Philadelphia when I played against them, and part of the U.S. youth national team system. I thought he did a fantastic job too. So now I think Critchley's shown some ability. So sometimes giving these guys a chance, I think, would be wise. But then again, it's not my club, of course. I'm just coming in to analyze things and give my opinion. But it's a little bit of a trend that I see in MLS of, like, you know, kind of looking around, but there's been really good moments. It's just about kind of having that continuity.
Looking ahead to this matchup with San Jose, this is a really important match. San Jose is still jockeying for position. There's a bunch of teams that are right around them, with Colorado and Salt Lake, FC Dallas. So it feels like it's an opportunity for City SC to knock down another team, but at the same time, pretty large implications with a month or so left of the season for San Jose.
Oh yeah, huge. Not ninth place right now, and if you know anything about Bruce Arena teams, anything under than the playoffs is a rarity. So, you know, I think they're going to be desperate to win. Plus, they have some really tough Western Conference games away in San Diego and Vancouver, still waiting one home game after on decision day. So, I think there's a lot of pressure on San Jose to beat St. Louis and to take all 3 points in this. But I know, you know, just coming MLS, what you think might happen is almost never going to happen. I did a 5-4 match where Columbus was winning 5-0 last week and almost stormed back. They scored 4 goals and had really nothing to play for at this point of the season. But I think that is a dangerous sign. A dangerous team is a team that's fighting for a lot more, and that's kind of what we were talking about before. Either those individual, personal, professional, that part is important. So I think St. Louis City and can continue to do that again this weekend.
Kalen Carr played 8 seasons in MLS. Now he is a part of the broadcast team with MLS Season Pass. Kalen, can you give a little bit of a plug for the MLS Season Pass package, especially a little bit more than a month out from the playoffs for soccer fans? Great chance to get locked in right now, watch the end of the regular season, and then watch the great playoff action.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best time of the year. And I know St. Louis fans are maybe not, you know, as dialed in right now as maybe they would want to be as far as the team being able to make a deep run at things. But as far as the intrigue, I was watching last night Messi go for some revenge against Seattle, who beat them in the Leagues Cup final. I'm really intrigued to see if they can go all the way. There's a ton of pressure on that Miami team. They've almost made themselves the villain in a few ways with some of the behavior and antics. But that's what we love about sports. You got LAFC, a ton of really good teams, a ton of good talent, young talent in the league too. And I don't have to tell anybody in St. Louis about the soccer cultural side, but that part is huge as well on MLS. And it's fun to follow every week. But yeah, playoffs, definitely sign up and follow along.
We very much appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you again down the line. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Kalen Carr joining us here on the program. We'll take a break, and we've got more coming up in just a moment as we roll on. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on here on KMOX. Glad to have you with us. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. A little bit after 7 o'clock news, we're going to be joined by Howard Richards, Mizzou football radio analyst. He is going to join us to talk all things Missouri football. Also next hour, we'll hear a little bit from Patrick Mahomes, the weekly conversation courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. And we'll hear from Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. Blues training camp is opening up tomorrow. They just got done with the prospect camp, which was really cool. And I think it was a productive camp, and it's great that they go play against Minnesota and Chicago, that little tournament that they do, which is great. And now they get set for a season that, before you know it, it's going to be here. The first preseason game for the Blues is on Saturday, this Saturday, not next Saturday, this Saturday. They're going to play a game in Dallas on Saturday. They open up training camp, and then boom, just like that, they open up the preseason. Their first regular season game is on October 9th. We're 3 weeks out from the start of Blues hockey season. So if it has not, if you haven't realized that, it has certainly come quick. Wanted to address a comment that we got via the video stream. Not Good Baseball 2321 says, right after the trade deadline, I knew that John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol didn't even try to win. And I would push back on that. And I, especially when it comes to Marmol, not that Mozeliak was selling at the deadline. When you're selling at the deadline, you're depleting the roster. So the dictionary definition of that is your roster is not going to be good. So I would say that would be taken out of context with Mo, but I'm not even addressing that part of it. If you want to go with that kind of as your belief, we're not going to argue about that right now. What I would argue with is the Marmol not trying to win. There's a lot of things that can be said about Oliver Marmol. People who don't like him, I disagree with most of the stuff that's said, but there are some criticisms of Oliver Marmol that I disagree with, but I understand where the criticism is coming from. I think that's a really important thing. My life lesson for everybody is we need to understand more, even if we disagree with people, how they're getting to their point. And so there are criticisms of Oliver Marmol that I disagree with, but that I understand where they're coming from. If you don't think Oliver Marmol is trying to win every single game, if you don't think this dude is competitive as all, you know what, I don't have a lot to tell you, because it's not true. Man burns hot. Like there's a reason he gets thrown out of as many games as he gets thrown out of. He is somebody who wants to win. I sometimes feel bad for him because I think he's been put in a situation where it would be very hard for him to win the number of games that is acceptable in this city, right? And so I push back on that. I push back on that very hard. Marmol is trying to win every single game that they play. Some games are unwinnable. This team has a roster that is not as good as most rosters around. Look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, from a roster standpoint, a lot better than the Cardinals. And they're kind of right next. They're going to end up basically in the same place. We are going to talk with Howard Richards, Missouri football radio analyst, after the 7 o'clock news, which is next here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.